Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Hello.
Welcome back, Jeffrey. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm just a little silly.
You're in a silly mood right now. I'm excited to talk about this episode of Lucha Underground, though, as we are going to be continuing breaking down Season 3 in its return. This is now our third episode since its return from mid-season break. And overall thoughts on the episode before we dive into the action?
Well, it was exciting because we really dive headfirst into the tournament. And yes. I wasn't expecting to get so many matches out of the way that quickly, so I'm glad.
Yeah, we get four matches tonight, which I feel like is a rarity in Lucha Underground. I feel like we usually get three with some vignettes, I think is usually the formula that we follow. Sometimes only two.
I was going to say, you're correct. And then, I mean, looking at the matches, partial reason for that is one of them does end pretty quickly.
Yes.
But, it's usually a three-match episode.
Yeah, and three out of these four matches actually could have ended, I think, even quicker than we thought. But, I mean, the episode is The Cup Begins, and aptly titled because we get four tournament matches, all of Group A of the Cueto Cup, which we are going to go over our brackets tonight, which Lucha Underground did the great thing of creating a Cueto Cup bracket that you could fill out at home, which, of course, we did. And so before we get into the results, let's just go over your Group A, and then we'll go over the rest of your bracket at the end of the show. Aerostar and Drago, you had.
I had Drago, as much as it pains me.
As did I. Pentagon Dark and Argenis, which is a little bit of a spoiler, if you know, but whatever. I'm happy to see Pentagon back. I obviously had Pentagon, but you know, I got a soft spot for Argenis as well.
Smart money's on Argenis. Anybody will tell you that. But I also took Pentagon Dark.
And then the Mac versus Mala Suerte.
I took the Mac.
And Famous B and Tejano.
Obviously, I took Tejano. You know I have a soft spot for Tejano.
Yeah, absolutely. We've discussed that. So I too. So we all have the same picks there.
It's been nice seeing Famous B in action in Season 3 a couple times. You know, with the tag match earlier in the season and now this.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And we'll, like I said, we'll go over the rest. We'll go over our picks for groups B, C, and D and everything. I mean, I filled mine all the way out through to the winner.
So did I.
Okay, good. Yeah. And I labored over some picks, but we'll get into that.
Oh, yeah, a couple of them I'm second guessing, but I want to stick with what I've got and just, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, there's some tough choices as you move into the later rounds of the Cueto Cup. But right off the bat, we get the return of Pentagon Dark, who does not knock, by the way, much to Dario Cueto's chagrin.
I like Dario filling out the brackets himself there, you know, who's going to fight who.
I love that, too. I love the big board of the Cueto Cup. I love that on there. I mean, again, sort of almost Harry Potter-esque with the motto on it. Did you catch what it said?
No.
It said, violence is virtue, which I think is just awesome. So it's very Tri-Wizard Cup almost kind of deal.
Those are the Cueto house words, if I'm not mistaken.
It probably. House Cueto, violence is virtue. That fits to a T. Yeah. So I thought that was cool. But yeah, Pentagon coming back after having both of his arms broken by the Lotus Triad.
Yes, strong bones.
Yeah, he's. But I mean, it's been a few months so since we last saw him. But the breaker,
what is it supposed to be?
That's what they said. So I mean,
but isn't that bizarre?
We got to think back that at least, like, I mean, he this happened to him pretty early on in Season 3. So we did have some weeks of episodes where he was out of commission. Remember, because the ninjas showed up, which was just awesome. So he, of course, immediately is coming looking for revenge. Dario says he hasn't seen Black Lotus, but you know, she broke your arm, but you broke hers first, kind of deal. And points
which was a fair argument. It was which Pentagon dismissed immediately.
Yes, immediately and grabbed Dario's finger, threatening to break more of Dario's bones. What did you think of this this vignette? I thought it was a great reintroduction of Pentagon.
Yeah, excellent reintroduction of Pentagon. Pentagon has the right personality as far as how he interacts with Dario. I feel you get a good grasp of certain characters based on how they interact with Dario Cueto. And this is exactly what Pentagon's like. He's, you know, a loose cannon. Doesn't take long for him to get violent. It's amazing how many of the the roster just do not respect Dario Cueto.
Yeah.
Even though he does exude a lot of power.
He does, and in my opinion, does a really great job, you know? He gives the people what they want. Yeah, he does the best he can of giving the believers what they want and giving the performers what they want. I think he does a pretty
good job. And giving his little brother what he wants whenever possible.
Who we still haven't seen yet.
A lot of responsibilities.
Since going through the bleachers of the temple there. But so Pentagon Dark bullied his way into the Cueto Cup in an opening match, which we just went over Group A, so spoiler alert, it's against Arjenis. But he also threatened Dario that if he doesn't leave Ultima Lucha Tres with Aztec Gold, that Dario's getting some bones broken.
That was my favorite part, because Pentagon, that's on you, buddy. Dario opened the door. You're in the tournament. You do the best that you can.
Yeah, well, that's not good enough for Pentagon. He wants.
And also, Pentagon, you were given as close to a first round bye as possible.
Aww, not as close. Not exactly.
As Harenis won? Ever?
I'm sure some point.
The answer is no.
He's actually the son of a famous luchador.
That's what I'm blown away by what they've done with Arjenis.
And I'm a supporter.
I know you want to do things with this character. You've got to give him a win somewhere. Even in like what was it, like that 4-on-4 match where he had Cage and Tejano on his team. He lost. Arjenis, you stink.
Hey, he had a cool new outfit he was rocking. Although I prefer him with sort of more
like
angelic white.
Exactly. I prefer the angelic white. What's this black business? It made no sense to me.
All right. Well, we will get there shortly. But before we kicked off the action, they were talking about, 32 of Lucha Underground's brightest superstars, but there can be only one. And then a Vampiro just goes, Highlander. I thought that was great.
I appreciate them saying it, and I appreciate Vampiro calling out that it is Highlander.
Yeah, like in case anybody missed it. Yeah, no, I agree. Yep.
It's and, like, I was just watching that the other day, so it's perfect.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I wouldn't mind seeing Bergen in this tournament.
Dude, he'd fit right in, and there can be only one. So Group A kicked off with Malos Huerte versus the Mac. We both picked the Mac to advance here. I mean, makes sense. He's coming off of two very impressive performances against Johnny
Mundo.
You've watched
the Mac every week since they've returned. Yeah. He is like the face of Lucha right now.
He's the guy right now. He's the guy.
Yeah.
And I mean,
if someone just started getting into Lucha Underground, they would be like, there's that guy again. I mean, they would have to become a fan.
They'd think that he was the most prominent star. I mean,
one of them at least.
I mean, he won the Battle of the Bulls as well. So it's been
a great season for the Mac.
Yeah, it's been his coming out party. So obviously, we picked the Mac here. Right off the bat, I love Malos Huerte's shorts, which I don't know if we've talked about before, but the fact that he's got the snake eyes dice on one side and the ripped up ace of spades on the other, because Malos Huerte is Spanish for bad luck. So he's the black rabbit's foot, as there were of the rabbit tribe. I was not expecting this match to go on for as long as it did. I felt like Malos Huerte got in like almost too much offense, as we just illustrated, a very red hot Mac who's been, really doing quite well.
But if you watch a lot of that, most of it had no effect on the Mac.
I guess that's a fair point, but still, Mac couldn't put him away for a pretty good amount of time. You know, this was really back and forth stuff.
I thought a couple of things during this match. One, I continue to just love how weird the Rabbit Tribe is. It was when he was like offering his hand to the Mac.
Yeah.
And he switches hands. He's like, all of that was great. I like the idea of them disorienting their opponent by just being weird and being creepy. I also don't know if I'm a huge fan of the Rabbit Tribe fighting solo.
Yeah.
I like them as a team. And I mean, that may be a little different when I watch the rest of the tournament and see the others on their own, but I think they work better all together. Also, I just like the idea of a bunch of rabbits attacking you at the same time.
I think I completely agree with you there, but like they kind of alluded to in the episode, this is essentially almost the entire roster that's in this tournament. So
I was thinking about that, but yet there are still some key players that aren't in it, like Jack. And, of course, Mundo isn't in it, nor is Ray.
Yeah.
And
well, they're already set.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But those are some prominent, members of the roster that just aren't on it. And Matanz is not allowed to be in it.
Yeah. Who knows where he is?
So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean,
King Cuerno's not in it because he's still dead, according to on TV canon.
So I was thinking, I was like, wow, 32, and yet it doesn't include everybody. And I was like, that's good depth. I like the size of this roster. And I mean, everybody is, you know, at least somewhat prominent.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I agree with you as far as the Rabbit Tribe, just the optics of them working together as a team, I think works better than them solo. Like, I did not really take, Malus Huerte is not a serious threat at all to the Max. So this was a gimme sort of outcome, and the Mac does win, but we did get a Spanish lesson from Vampiro along the way about apoyando, which is like being supportive. So I appreciated that. I liked him teaching Matt Stryker and all the Believers along the way there, because they were the Believers were supportive of both guys, which, because I think Lil Cholo, who plays Malus Huerte, I mean, he's got such a big following in Lucha Libre and amongst the Believers, so that was cool. He has a cameo in Boone the Bounty Hunter also. But Mac is the first to move on in Group A of the Cueto Cup. And before we get into the next match...
Oh, wait, real fast. I just want to say, I think the holy shit chant has officially jumped the shark.
Oh, well, that's the whole point with Malus Huerte, though.
I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't need the audience chanting that. I'm done with it. Especially because then it takes away from a much better holy shit chant later in the episode.
But that's the whole point of his spot. I mean, it's just Rabbit Tribe weirdness. You know, it's them playing it. It's them rolling with it, you know. So I don't
need the dumbasses in the audience cheering.
All right. I like it because it's going along with his character. And it's meant to be that. Group A, moving on. But before we get into the next match of Group A, we got a vignette of Cage and the Gauntlet and Dario Cueto. Jeff, take us through this and what you thought.
Oh, it's Cage just pumping a little iron while staring at his gauntlet
hand. Yeah.
yeah, with the non-gauntlet hand, while his gauntlet hand is having electricity coursing around it and him just staring
Nintendo
at it.
Nintendo power.
Yeah, he's got the power.
And then Dario Cueto.
Oh, yeah. And then Dario shows up and invites him to Councilman Delgado's office, what, in after hours or something, to meet with him.
Yeah.
And Cage is like, pass.
I'm good.
I'm good.
Doesn't
want to
do it. And Dario,
I don't know where this is going, but I don't like it, is basically what he was thinking.
And Dario's like, no, you got to meet this guy. He's very influential. He gives him his card, which... you know, I really want one of those cards. Lawrence Delgado, Councilman Boyle Heights, but...
That is great. You kind of forget what a loose cannon Cage is.
Yeah.
And why it's kind of a bad idea to give him the gauntlet at the same time. Like, don't get me wrong, physically perfect, but it's like, yeah, Cage doesn't do anything that people tell him what to do, you know? And so he marches to the beat of his own drum.
He's already showing effects of the gauntlet's thrall on him, so to speak, and... Dario, what do you say?
Similar to Roid Rage.
Yes. Yeah. I even was talking during the episode. I was like, that's some gauntlet rage for you right there, dude. Like, you gotta watch out for that.
It's like Timothy Price in a bathroom stall.
You don't mind. but didn't Dario also say that he would reimburse him for the ride or something like that, too?
Yes, he did.
I'm wondering if that's going to tie back to him for what, because we're going to follow up with Cage and his late night visit with the Gauntlet and Councilman Delgado at the end of the episode. But that takes us to the second match of Group A, and that is Arjenis, who I put out there. You know, maybe this is finally Arjenis' time to shine. I was like, oh, he's fighting Pentagon Dark.
How hilarious would that have been if this was Arjenis' time to shine?
Revenge
and
is
Pentagon
so sweet.
Pentagon Dark is eliminated round one.
Round one, just can't catch a break, and then Dario has to head for the hills. but yeah, so we got Pentagon Dark versus Arjenis, and I quickly noted that Arjenis could have the distinct pleasure of being the first person to have his arm broken twice by Pentagon. So I was like, oh, let's see if that happens. If that happens here, I don't know if he's in an arm-breaking mood, but one would think that he would be since this is his first appearance back. Thoughts on the Arjenis versus Pentagon Dark match?
Now, this is the match, to me, that went on longer than I thought it would. It was the world's longest, like, squash match. because it was pretty one-sided.
Yeah.
Almost entirely. There were a couple of times when Arjenis had a few spots where he retaliated, but for the most part, it was Pentagon just kicking the crap out of him.
Yeah, but I almost like that because Pentagon got to show off his entire arsenal again, and he's been gone for a while. And Arhennis...
I don't know how you can ever do anything with Arhennis, though. And it's not just this match. This is a culmination of a few matches.
Yeah, honestly,
now,
as far as his matches go, this was probably one of his better showings.
Yeah, it's just weird.
I liked the when Arhennis did the balance on the top turnbuckle and then got super kicked while he's doing the handstand on the top turnbuckle. That was great. There were some cool spots in this match. Like I said, he got to do the Cerro Miedo driver. He got to do the Pentagon. He got to do the package pile driver. And
so finished the match, right?
Yeah, exactly. So Pentagon got to show off all the stuff. I do agree with you that maybe it went on a little too long, especially as Pentagon's return. You would just want him to straight up squash him quickly. But, you know, he got to showcase his stuff. So I was all right with that. And I also appreciated it because Vampiro on commentary saying that he had, you know, like when they announced that Pentagon was coming back, first of all, the believers went nuts. I mean, their chants of Cerro Miedo were drowning out the sound of his music, which was crazy. But Vampiro, like when they announced that it was Pentagon that was coming out, was talking about how he had some sort of inside scoop and that, you know, about like, you know, look out, Pentagon's going to be kicking asses and stuff like that. So I just throughout the commentary, Vampiro was very complimentary of his quote unquote ex protege, which I thought was interesting.
He still has great respect for him and still, I think, has his eye on him.
Yeah. He likes the violence.
Yeah, a Vampiro is a simple man as far as what he's interested in.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
but I mean, you're right about Pentagon and how the crowd reacts to him. I mean, you said it before, he's the Vegeta of the group. You know, he's like the Wolverine. He's, you know, he's those types of characters, real rough around the edges, and he's a fan favorite because of it.
Yeah, and it definitely shows he hasn't lost a step in terms of his fan support. So yeah, he finished Arhennis with the package pile driver. I'm still hopeful for Arhennis can turn things around at some point, and he's going to get a push at some point in Lucha Underground. I'm glad he's sticking around. But, yeah, switch back to the Angelic White. I mean, you're from the heavens, Arhennis.
Exactly.
You just fall from them quite a lot.
Just do that.
But immediately after pinning him, the crowd erupts in a break-his-arm chant. So I'm sitting there and be like, all right, yep, this is going to happen. Then Arhennis then has, you know, Arhennis made a little bit of history. He had his arm broken for a second time by Pentagon.
Pentagon turns the audience into a bunch of blood-crazed savages.
He does.
When he was beating up those women.
He does. Well, you know, they were given as good as they got.
Not the first couple.
No, well, he destroyed them. That third
one. Yeah,
though.
Well, those were the ones that the audience was really chanting to be destroyed.
Well, you know.
No, that third one was awesome.
Yeah, she was.
I don't remember their names, but yeah.
But this is a great return for Pentagon Dark. He moves on to what is this, the Sweet 16 of the Cueto Cup, which is just great. I love the bracketology of the Cueto Cup. I'm all about this. I hope they do it every season. Next time we'll be ready for it so we can do some more audience interaction with it. Hopefully they get the brackets out sooner and we can have some real fun with the Cueto Cup bracketology. I love everything about this. I just think it's so cool. But yeah, Pentagon's back, and he's back breaking bones. The next match that they take us to in Group A is Tejano versus Famous B. And for as short as it was, there was a lot of entertainment value here with, once again, Famous B coming out in his cowboy garb, as was the beautiful Brenda. And Famous B getting pissed right off the bat, saying, "Damn it, Melissa, I told you now I was from Texas," and like telling her to get and everything. Go on now.
Go on now.
What did you think of this, that whole, the pre-match scene?
Oh, no, I thought it was hilarious. I love Famous B and his interaction with Melissa every time.
I agree. And this is him. He's saying, yeah, that's right, town. I'm from Texas. I got a ranch. I just need a stable. And he really wants Tejano in it. And so he's like, I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to let you pin me. And the finger poke of doom was referenced. And I really like how Vampiro was like, yeah, I saw this happen once before. And Matt Striker's like, well, how'd that work? I was like, well, that company's not around anymore. I thought that was great. But then Tejano wasn't comfortable just doing that. So he broke up the three count and then powerbombed Famous B before getting the 1-2-3,
right, so
moving on in the shortest match of the night, a complete squash of Famous B. But then some Tejano, more interaction with the beautiful Brenda. She smacked him right on his cowboy ass, which he seemed to greatly enjoy. But she dropped that line, so much cowboy, little rope. I don't know how I feel about her making allusions to that if we want to bring him into the fold with Famous Beats. Like, shut your mouth! You don't want to say that right now. By the way, how do you know so fast, beautiful Brenda? But what do you just think about this storyline in general? Is this still going the route that, Tejano is going to join up eventually?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. I love the recruitment process, and I love
they're
how far
Famous
B will go for you. Yeah, exactly. They're wooing him. Yeah. No, he's like a sports agent. I think it's great. He's a sleazy sports agent.
Yeah.
Where he's dressing like him and pretending that he's like, you know, from a similar background and, you know, parade Brenda around. All of it's perfect. I also like that Famous B's like, no, I'm just going to lay over for you and you can win the match.
Yeah.
As if Tejano could not destroy him.
I know, just the implication that Famous B even stood a chance.
Famous B, as soon as the two of you were stacked up next to each other, that's a win for Tejano every time.
Yeah. So Tejano moving in to the Sweet 16 as the freshest man in the tournament.
Clearly.
That's for sure. He got the easiest win so far. He will match up with the Mac next.
That'll be a good match.
Yeah.
I think the two of them complement each other well as far as size and fighting style.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting one to call as well. From there, we got something completely awesome. It was not really a vignette. It was not a match.
No, very different.
It was a promo package, sort of a la like something you'd see on HBO or ESPN promoting like a big fight. It was a promo vid for Rey Mysterio versus Johnny Mundo, and I loved it. And, like, I put out there, it's like, dude, Mysterio versus Mundo is greater than Mayweather versus McGregor. They made this feel like such a big fight, such a big deal for a title match. I thought that was just the right touch. I love these. I hope they keep doing these videos. What did you think of it?
You know, before I watched the video, it didn't make me stop and think. It is a big deal, Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Johnny Mundo. That is going to be a great match. One thing I really liked from it was that Ricky is officially a member of the Worldwide Underground.
Yes, he's been brought into the fold.
He was labeled as such. He was in the video, so it's canon. It's a done deal now. He's one of them for sure. So I was happy
good
about
for him.
That. Yeah, I think so. If they're greenlighting any other memberships, you know, throw a couple this way, am I right?
Maybe we'll see when you meet John next month.
John wants nothing to do with it because I just start hugging him.
He might like that. You never know. I really love them building this up, you know, for when they it had that big match appeal to it. I like that. And we got a few weeks until it comes to fruition. So I'm looking forward to all this, the promotion and build towards it. And I can't wait to see what they do next with it. But that I think it was the guy that filled in for Vampiro that did the voiceover on it. If I'm not mistaken, the guy from Ultima Lucha 1. I think that was him. Very, very cool promo package. And they did a great job. I love just like the descriptions of like how Johnny Mundo's like ego is what fuels him and everything like that. And they put over that aspect of him. And they are putting over what a legend Mysterio was. I mean, this is just going to be such a great clash. So looking forward to that and as we build towards that. But that takes us to our main event of the evening, the final match of Group A, which is Drago versus Aerostar, which funny how Dario matched them up considering what happened just last week with Drago betraying Phoenix and Aerostar, switching sides to the now, I guess, officially redubbed Reptile Tribe.
Boo.
I prefer the Snake Tribe as well.
Yeah. Although, in all fairness, has anybody been matched up against each other more than Drago and Aerostar in Lucha Underground history?
That's close.
They're always fighting each other.
Yeah, that's true. But this one taking on particular meaning, I like how they played into this, that there were times when Drago seemed to snap out of it for a second or hesitate. And same with Aerostar, where he was very reticent about doing this.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, though, before even getting in the match, I loved Drago's new red look. Like the
me too
was sick looking. He looks like rejuvenated, which makes sense if he's, you know, somehow getting some juice from Cobra Moon or whatever. So I like that. I like the eyes on his like shoulder area or whatever. Was very cool look. What did you think of the match?
You know, it's funny. At least how it was for the first part of the match, I thought it was one of their worst outings.
I've heard that.
And then I thought it stepped up all of a sudden. I forget what point. It's like as I was writing down it, that it was one of their worst matches, all of a sudden the pace and the tempo picked up a bit, and I thought the two of them were more in sync. Because, I mean, even live, we have seen them together, and it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Like,
they're great together. They have, I mean, they're both incredibly talented. They have great chemistry with one another, and they're just, you know, it's a really good match almost every time. But this one, I thought it was just like a little off in the beginning. I thought a few things weren't timed correctly. From a storytelling aspect, I thought it was fine. I like having Cobra Moon there and her interference. And kind of like what you were already saying as far as Drago fighting the mind control, Aerostar's trying to reach out to him. All of that is great, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that continues. But yeah, the match itself, it was a little uneven.
Yeah. No, I definitely have seen that on. I will say this, though. The biggest bump of the whole night was when Aerostar went crashing into Drago, but went so hard that he also just, his momentum carried him like directly into the seats. That was
ridiculous.
Scary. Yeah, that
Dude.
Was some scary stuff, man. I thought he legitimately got super hurt on that. That was nuts.
I'm glad they were okay. And it reminds me that when we do go to the temple, I don't want to be right in the front.
Oh, I do.
I want to be like just by the stairs. That way they walk past us.
I hope when
Tonza
comes
right
out and starts punching people in the face in that section.
You know, that's exactly when we fucking come, don't we? You know, it's like that's when I would be sitting there.
Just decks you. That'd be great. Yeah, that was a scary moment. But after Aerostar tried to use Drago's own finisher against him, that pinning predicament,
that was cool.
the whip of the dragon's tail, Drago does prevail with that move. And then Cobra Moon tells him to destroy him afterward, which Drago obliges. And that's how the credits roll. So it looks like Drago is fully under Cobra Moon's control at this point. We still need
So it would appear.
We still need King Cuerno to come to the rescue. But Drago moves on in Group A. He will face Pentagon Dark next time in the Sweet 16. So before we get to the rest of the bracket, we had a little post-credits vignette as Cage went moonlighting with his gauntlet to Councilman Delgado's office at Dario Cueto's request. And Delgado was, I like to say, oh, you're wearing it all the time now. Or you can't take it off. That's good.
Yeah, can't take it off. Good, it's working.
Yeah. So I hope that means
Delgado
that we're going to see.
Delgado was a little too honest with him.
Yeah.
And a little too blunt.
He thought,
that was the problem.
He thought Cage was more down with the program. I don't think he was properly briefed by Dario Cueto about Cage's sort of resistance to things. But yeah, Cage was
not a willing participant.
Yeah, was not really down with Delgado's games, and puts a choke on him, and then you know that was the gauntlet rage, and Cage sort of was coming down a little bit, and then he's like, "That's all right, it's because you're still thinking like a man." And then without even missing a beat,
dude.
Boom, punch right through Councilman Delgado's face. This is one of the most brutal vignettes we've ever seen in Lucha Underground. Like the blood looked like very gruesome on the gauntlet. He killed Lorenzo Lamas, dude. What did you think when you were watching this?
I was waiting for Lorenzo Lamas to have a much bigger part on Lucha Underground, and I'm really sad that he's gone.
I'm too.
I'm hoping somehow he gets resurrected.
Well, that's the one thing, is that
he serves a powerful god. Why could he not be resurrected?
Yeah, but man, his head got exploded by the gauntlet. I mean, Cage, when he was walking out, stepped on the eyeball and squashed it. I did not see that coming so
soon. At least
we
got Lorenzo and Boone. I needed my Lamas fix.
Yeah, maybe that's why. So. I did not see that coming so soon for Councilman Delgado. I thought he was going to play a much bigger part, like you were saying. You know, like he's got information about, like, he's been the main go-between.
Because Dario doesn't know what's really going on. He kind of got pressured into the whole thing.
Yeah. So who knows what's going to happen? Dario's going to be pissed, man. It's not good. He's also on the hook for that Uber, so it puts him at the scene.
Yeah.
So it's not – that is not good. But we'll see what's going on. So Cage – I hope Cage now just starts wearing it to the ring then, you know, when he's wrestling.
Can't take it off.
He starts using that discus, because the one other time that we've seen him wrestle after he got it, he took it off.
Yeah. My only thing is I think they would have to design another one.
Yes.
Because I don't think he'd be able to do a lot of holds or anything. I mean, that's the problem with the gauntlet, is it's also very cumbersome.
Yeah.
As for doing a live wrestling match.
Well, maybe it's he'll have to adjust his style a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. I could see that limiting a lot of things. He wouldn't be able to pick up people the same way. And he'd have to kind of be careful about what it is that he does, because he'd only have like one useful hand.
Yeah.
Or maybe there'll be a different gauntlet for when he's in the ring. I mean, it'll still look similar, but it'll be more manageable.
Yeah, that's interesting. We'll see what happens, though. I should have said this right off the bat. I love tournaments in pro wrestling. King of the Ring is always one of my favorite events that, you know, from growing up a wrestling fan. I loved the WrestleMania, I think it was 4, when Macho Man won the world championship over Million Dollar Man in the final. I think tournaments in wrestling are so much fun. And so this definitely has lived up to that so far. The Cueto Cup, I think, is such an awesome idea. I hope they do this every season. Before we go any further in this episode, we're going to break down the brackets and everything like that. But I want to remind you all that you can follow us on Twitter, at Lucha Lowdown. We live tweet the episodes when we're able to watch them live with you all. I love interacting with the believers and live tweeting the episodes. So please follow us, at Lucha Lowdown. If you want to get a hold of us via email, it's luchalowdown@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. But the most important thing is subscribe to us on iTunes and rate us and review us if you like what you hear. Tell your friends. It's the best way you can help out the podcast. The response has been great so far. We really appreciate it. And that's going to do it for this quick little ad portion. Now let's break down the brackets. Let's get into we'll go through who we have winning and coming out of each group. So we know who's advanced in the Sweet 16 of Group A. Next week, or excuse me, whenever the next time, Sweet 16 of Group A, Drago versus Pentagon Dark. I have Pentagon Dark winning that one. Who do you have?
I have Pentagon Dark defeating Drago as well.
Okay, the Mac versus Tejano. I have Tejano advancing in that one.
I also have Tejano.
Because they were talking about, you know, in this first match, how, you know, if anyone could use a win, it's Tejano and stuff like that. Yeah. So I feel like that is something that's going to play. That's one of the tougher choices, though, because Mac's been riding such a good wave of momentum. But I think the next shoe
to drop. I think
this
will make it Tejano's time to shine.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, no, I agree. And then Pentagon versus Tejano, I have Pentagon coming out.
I also have Pentagon defeating Tejano and basically winning Group A.
Okay, yeah, so out of Group A, we both have Pentagon. And Group B, Cage versus Vinny Massaro. I have Cage winning, possibly by fatal win over Vinny Massaro.
I have Cage in an upset. Not sure if he's going to be able to squeak it out, but yeah, I'm thinking Cage is going to win that one.
Cage via fatality over Vinny Massaro.
Dude, if he starts smashing skulls in the ring, forget about it. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and then Masquerita Sagrada versus Pindar. I have, you know, I could see them having Masquerita, because like if you look at the bracket, you could, I mean, Cage versus Masquerita and just walloping him. No, but I have Lord Pindar advancing. You too?
I have Pindar as well.
Marty the Moth versus Saltador, who is of the Rabbit Tribe. I have Marty the Moth advancing.
I have Marty.
Okay, so far we're on the same wavelength.
I know, we're
there.
All agreeing. Yeah.
Phoenix and Mariposa.
Phoenix.
Same. All right, let's and then so as we move through Group B here, Cage versus Pindar, I have Cage moving on.
As do I have Cage.
Okay. The Moth and Phoenix.
I have Phoenix.
As do I, although I could see them pulling something crazy with that too if the Melissa Santos Phoenix Marty the Moth story sort of
also
is.
Then Phoenix just defeated Mariposa, but at the same time you could have him defeating both members of the Moth Tribe back to back.
That is true. And I mean, Phoenix is just such a big deal in Lucha Underground. So
Phoenix should always at least be considered a favorite no matter where he's at.
And then Cage and Phoenix, who do you got?
I have Cage.
I too have the Machine Cage moving on. So then we go to Group C. God, I love this stuff.
I'm waiting for him to not just go, I'm a man. I was wondering, instead of saying I'm a machine, he goes, I'm a god.
I know. I was waiting for that too. Yeah. I did like how his voice all changed though when he said I'm a machine. When that
crazy.
Was going down. Yeah. Group C, Vibra versus Paul London of the Rabbit Tribe. I have Vibra.
I also have Vibra.
Okay. On this one, this
I
is.
I think we've kind of seen them face off against each other before, too. Not solo, but.
Yeah. And this one might be the most lopsided of the whole bracket. Veneno versus Mil Muertes. I assume we both have Mil Muertes, the man of 1,000 deaths, moving on.
You know, you have to feed someone to Mil Muertes, though.
Yeah, that's true. And this might be where we're going to start getting to some of Group
C. I think
C,
now we're going to start to differ.
Group C is
And these
tough
are some
one.
Of the tougher ones, honestly.
Yeah, no, I agree. Jeremiah Crane and Killshot. I have Jeremiah Crane.
I have Jeremiah Crane, and it'll make sense in a couple of rounds.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I think you and I are going to agree on where that goes then.
Taya and Joey Ryan. Taya's making a return. I'm going with Taya in that.
See, this one to me is a real toss-up, but I'm going with Joey Ryan.
Wow, okay, going with Joey Ryan. I like it. I like the pick.
This one could definitely go either way. It was one of the ones that I had to sit there and think about, and I went back to. But at the same time, I almost think it's a moot point because of what I'm predicting in the next round. So
okay, so then that leads us to Vibora and Mil Muertes on my bracket and yours. I have Mil.
Yep.
Okay. Crane on both of our brackets, and Taya / Joey Ryan since we split there. I have Crane moving on.
I also have Crane.
Okay, so then to win...
So that he will face off against Mil Muertes.
Yes, Mil Muertes versus Jeremiah Crane. This is one that I... This is probably the one I labored over the second most because it just depends on where they want to take the storyline. And Jeremiah Crane already has a win over Mil Muertes. I'm going with Jeremiah Crane again here.
I'm going with Mil Muertes.
Now explain why.
Because of who I think he's going to face in the finals of the Cueto Cup.
Okay. All right.
I think it's going to finish that rivalry.
Interesting. Oh, you know
who
what?
Who I think is winning Group D.
You know what? You're that's very interesting. I like that a lot, actually. Damn. All right. So that leads us to Group D. Sexy Star and PJ Black. Who you got?
This was the other one for me that was like Joey Ryan and Taya. I'm going with Sexy Star, but it could be PJ Black.
I feel the same way. I too went with Sexy Star. Ricky Mandel and Prince Puma. We're going with Ricky, right?
Though I believe Ricky has the heart of a member of Lucha Underground. He doesn't have the strength. Prince Puma is going to win.
Yeah, I have Puma as well. El Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Dante Fox. I have Azteca.
I hate dismissing both Killshot and Dante, but I also have El Dragon Azteca Jr.
Yeah, and Son of Havoc versus a mystery opponent. I can only assume this is Daddy Havoc or whoever we saw in the Lucha Underground Season 3 trailers. I'm going with the mystery opponent here.
I'm going with the mystery opponent. You can't have a mystery opponent in the first round of a tournament be eliminated.
I mean, you can, but yeah, I'm definitely going with that. And then Sexy Star Puma. Puma, obviously.
Puma wins, and I wouldn't be surprised if... it gets a little weird, and Puma gets a little too harsh.
Yeah.
And a little dark as he defeats her.
I could see that for sure. Azteca and mystery opponent. I'm going with Azteca here, setting up Puma versus El Dragon Azteca Jr.
Also for the same. Yeah, same thing. I want to see Azteca against Puma.
And then the winner of Group D, we both have Prince Puma, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? The more I think about it, the more I like your call with Mil Muertes there. That's interesting, but it'll be a moot point for me in my bracket. So that moves us the winner of Group A and Group C facing off Pentagon on both of our brackets. Mil Muertes / Jeremiah Crane in ours respectively. I have Pentagon winning that matchup. You have Mil versus Pentagon, and you have?
I have Mil Muertes winning.
Okay. Eliminating Pentagon. Yes. And then the winner of Groups B and D facing off, we both have it being Cage versus Prince Puma. And I assume we both have it being Prince Puma moving on.
Yes. Although I'll tell you, I don't think it's going this way, but it would be cool if the Cueto Cup and the storyline was Cage becoming more of a god and Cage won the entire thing.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
And then that's how he kind of takes control. And like by the end of the tournament, he's not even Cage anymore. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think Prince Puma is going to win this half of the bracket.
Your Mil Muertes thing is very interesting too, because he has unfinished business with Vampiro, so I could see you being right about him getting by Crane. I'm wondering about that whole Katrina storyline and everything like that, him trying to impress her and everything.
Well, and I could see that storyline going without Crane winning too, you know. Yeah. What I mean, there's more to it, and who's to say that Jeremiah Crane becomes victorious in the storyline or gets anything that he wants from it?
And then the other thing with that, though, is if it is Mil versus Pentagon, I could see Vampiro screwing Mil over there because he does have history. He has history of both those guys, and then that would set...
Oh, no, Mil Muertes, I feel like his... Well, the way I have it, at least, his last three matches are with three guys that, yeah, he definitely has business with. The only other person, or the only other people that he had business with are Phoenix and King Cuerno, and he's kind of dealt with both of them.
So then our final, I have Pentagon versus Prince Puma. You have Mil Muertes versus Prince Puma. Yeah. I mean, freaking awesome either way you go with that. I labored over this because, I mean, I do think that this is Pentagon's season, but I think Prince Puma is going to be the first ever Cueto Cup winner. I do.
As do I. I just think the victory is over Mil Muertes and not over Pentagon.
Yeah, very interesting. And that will guarantee Puma being in the title match at Ultima Lucha Trace. My thing about it was that this is that Pentagon said if he doesn't leave Ultima Lucha Trace with without having Aztec Gold, it's Dario Cueto's ass, essentially. I think Pentagon, I think Rey Mysterio 1 is going to beat Johnny Mundo. Setting up what we assume will be a Prince Puma Rey Mysterio match at Ultima Lucha Trace, or what everybody's going to be hyping up. I think Pentagon, I think he could roll into Ultima Lucha Trace as the Lucha Underground champion, and it could be
that he somehow intercepts Rey.
Yeah, like exactly. I don't know, maybe gets Rey Gift of the Gods or something. I don't know, but
which would be fine because Rey and Puma did go against each other in the finale last season.
Yeah. So it would set up at some point, wherever Pentagon exits, that I think still he is going to get into the main event of Ultima Lucha Trace, and I think it is going to be, I think season three, the clash that finishes it off is going to be Pentagon and Prince Puma, because that Vampiro connection is going to be there. He's going to have to pick a side, what sort of master plan this all is, and I think that's where it's all going to come to a head. But I like your Mil Muertes idea too, and I could definitely see them doing that. Obviously, Mil Muertes versus Prince Puma, one last time in the Cueto Cup finale has a lot of appeal, and I actually think you have a very solid chance of being right there. Like I said, that Mil Muertes versus Jeremiah Crane round is something that I labored over and went back and forth a few times on. So you've got me second guessing myself, but we'll see what happens. I'm so excited for the rest of the Cueto Cup, but that is going to do it for this week's episode of Lucha Lowdown. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.